Our scripture reading this morning comes from John 6, verses 28 through 35. Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The works of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives you life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the word of the Lord for us.
Have you ever noticed how much of life revolves around food? Like, have you ever found yourself, you're planning out a day or a week, and so much of it is your meals and your, I mean, like, especially families who have young children, you know this very well, because it's breakfast prep, breakfast serving, breakfast cleanup, morning snack, prep, serving, and cleanup. By the time you're done with that, you guessed it, it's lunchtime for lunch prep, lunch serving, lunch cleanup, into the afternoon snack, into the evening meal, into the, for the Reisinger family, we do an evening snack as well. So if you're counting, that's about six times where you're doing food prep, serving, cleanup, all that. And I just know, I'm not going to call you out, but some of you, food is such an important part that when you're planning a vacation, that actually impacts your decisions on vacations. Like, oh, well, this meal is going to be, oh, we want to make sure we hit that restaurant. But here's the thing, no matter how good that meal is that you've altered your schedule for and spent so much time and energy and effort getting, that perfectly seared, juicy steak that you eat for that evening meal at 6 p.m. By 10 o'clock, you're like, I think I'm ready for a snack. What's the? No matter what you eat, it never keeps you full for the rest of the day or for the rest of the week. You're always finding yourself hungry again, right? So you show up for Thanksgiving dinner, and lots of people, they forego a meal or two before the dinner just so they can maximize it, and you are just stuffed. And the leftovers go in the fridge. What happens Thanksgiving evening? Next thing you know, there's Uncle Fred. He's opening the fridge. He's like, let's see what we got in here. He's making the turkey sandwich, right? Is that what you get? A little mayonnaise, a little toast, little turkey sandwich. I don't know. Maybe that was just in my household. But even Thanksgiving dinner, you find that evening people are kind of snooping around in the kitchen. Is there any of that cranberry sauce left over? I kind of have a little hankering for that. In John chapter 6, we find hungry people, just like all of us at times, hungry people. And we should say, we find a crowd of people who are hungry again, because if you were with us 2 weeks ago, you know that we were studying the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus miraculously took five loaves and two fish. Well, this is the same crowd. This is the same crowd who had eaten that, and this is the very next day. So they feasted. You'll remember that in the beginning of John chapter 6, they ate until they were full. No more. I can't handle it. And there were leftovers they were eating bread and fish. This is the same crowd. And the next day, Jesus has departed, but they're like, hey, where's that guy who provided the meal? Where's Jesus? They're searching for Jesus. They want more bread. And Jesus is going to let them know, as we study this, I hope you brought a Bible with you today, Jesus is going to let them know they're chasing after the wrong thing. That they think they want a meal. What they really need is him. Jesus is the bread of life. Because only Jesus can satisfy our souls. That's what we're going to talk about together this morning. So let me introduce myself. My name is John Reisinger. I serve as lead pastor. Well, I guess Jerry already said that, didn't you? But I'm just thrilled that you're here with us this morning. I'm praying that through our time together, your heart and home grow stronger in the Lord. So we're doing a study, a series, a four-part series through this chapter in the Gospel of John, John chapter 6. So we began with the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus feeding this crowd of people, five loaves and two fish. And we realize Jesus is able to meet all of our needs, our physical needs, but our spiritual needs as well. Then last week, we were on to Jesus walking on water. So Caleb preached that sermon, did a great job. we learn that only Jesus can bring peace amidst life's storm. So as the story continues, what we have here is the crowd of people, maybe even in that sort of food stupor for a period because they were so full, and they sort of like come to their senses and they're looking around and they realize Jesus has left. So we have the crowd of people there who were fed, and Jesus has departed. Remember, he got in the boat, right, the walking on the water. He actually walked, but then got in the boat, and then the disciples and Jesus went to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, and so he's not there with him. So what they do is they themselves get in boats, cross the sea, and they're searching for Jesus. So they find themselves in Capernaum, and they don't really seem to be too happy with Jesus. So let's open our Bibles, John chapter 6. Let's start in verse 25. It says, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. So he realizes what's happening here. Now you're hungry again. So then he gives this encouragement, verse 27, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Have you ever had a child or a family member that goes missing for a period of time and you cannot find them? And sometimes it's a brief period of time, sometimes it's a little longer. And when you find them, it is that kind of equal parts, like relief, but you're kind of mad too. And you typically, where were you? That's kind of the vibe here with the crowd and Jesus in verse 25. When did you get here? Where were you? This is kind of what they're saying to him. They're kind of upset, like their free meal ticket isn't producing another feast. But you see, the mission of Jesus wasn't just to fill empty bellies. It was to fill empty hearts. That's what he's going to teach here. That's what we're going to learn this morning. Jesus' mission is not just to fill empty bellies, it's to fill empty hearts. And so, as the exchange goes on there, we're going to see Jesus declares to them, I am the bread of life. Now, that might seem like a very odd thing to say. Like, what is that? And we're memorizing that as a church family from John 6:35. That might seem like a very odd thing to say. What do you mean? What do you mean you are the bread of life? The crowd wants more bread. They're asking for bread. They're sort of upset with him, as we just saw. Like, hey, what are you doing? Where's the next meal? And not only is Jesus not going to give them the bread that they're asking for, but he's going to say, no, I'm the bread. So again, what does he mean by this? He doesn't say, we got to look closely at this phrase, and that actually appears twice in John chapter 6. He doesn't say, I am the giver of bread. He is the giver of bread. Again, we learned that with the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus can meet our needs, our physical needs and our spiritual needs. But he doesn't say, I'm the giver of bread. He says, I am the bread. So again, the crowd had only come looking for Jesus because they were hungry. Oh. They wanted something from him. They didn't realize that what they needed was him. Man, we find ourselves doing the same thing, don't we? How often when we pray, oh, hey, Lord, here's my list of desires and wants and wishes and needs, and if you could get on that right away, thanks, I appreciate it. And you say, well, I've never prayed like that. Well, I think sometimes when we come to the Lord, we just give him the things we want from him. When instead, our prayers should be filled with things like, Lord, I want you. Lord, I need you. Lord, nothing can truly satisfy but you. And at this point, some of you are like, didn't John preach this exact same sermon 2 weeks ago where he was like, too long we've believed in a God who saves, not in a God who satisfies? To which I would say, oh, there's this old adage about a preacher who came in, preached a really good sermon, the crowd loved it. I think it was like a hiring situation. But the next week he preached the same sermon. They were like, that's weird. Third week preached the same sermon. They're like, hey, you got to stop. Why are you preaching the same sermon? And he said, I'll stop preaching it when you start living it. So I think that's sort of the spirit here is just to say that probably doesn't need to just be a one-off thing. That needs to be something that I am learning and growing in, and I suspect that you are as well. I'm finding, I'm learning, I'm growing, and finding satisfaction in my relationship with Jesus that nothing else even compares to. So the crowd that day went to Jesus. They're searching for him. I mean, they cross a lake. That would have been, and they're out in the middle of nowhere. Like, this is a great undertaking for them to get to the spot, and then we're not going to disperse. We're going to continue pressing on in search of Jesus, getting in boats, crossing the sea. They went because they wanted something from him. They didn't pursue him because they wanted him. And look at the world around us. Look at the cultural context we find ourselves in. I think we are a culture obsessed with food, and it's because we have people who are just looking for something to satisfy. Because it's not just food that we're obsessed with. If I could just achieve this financial goal, if I could just accomplish this successful thing, if I could win the state championship in my sport, then I would feel satisfied, like I've accomplished something. We just find ourselves in a culture where we've got an appetite and we're pursuing these certain things, right? Did you guys catch it? What is it, a couple weeks ago and Apple launched the brand new iPhone 17 Pro Max, 2 terabytes. Oh, that's a cool color. If only I had that phone. Never mind, the MSRP is $1,999.99. By the way, I did have to get a new phone. Mine went for a swim in a swimming pool. I tried to do the put it in rice thing, but that didn't work. I feel like the soy sauce just made it even worse somehow. The point is, with the state championship or the brand new iPhone or the more money or the better house or the better car, like, all of those things are temporal, they're earthly, they're going to spoil, they're going to fade, they're going to pass away. And even the experiences that we chase after, it's like, no sooner are you home from that dream vacation and you're just itching for the next one. So there is no promotion, there is no relationship, there is no accomplishment, there's no substance that can truly satisfy. Only Jesus can truly satisfy. All those other things are just like junk food. They promise happiness and fulfillment, but they always leave you hungry for more and worse off than when you started. Just like we do need food to be sustained physically, to be nourished, to live a healthy and robust life, whatever amount of time the Lord allots to us on earth, so we need Jesus if we want true life. So I'm still explaining Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. Like, what he's saying is, there is no life apart, like, unless you consume me, unless you have me to fill you, to be a part of your life as Savior, as Lord and Master, as Redeemer, the promised one, the anointed one, the Messiah. Jesus says, unless you have that knowledge and understanding and personal relationship, you cannot have true life. Because I don't want you to be confused this morning. Life on earth is a mist. It is a vapor. It will soon vanish and be gone. It is very short-lived. But real life, everlasting life, is for eternity. Like, that's when we're really going to live, is in eternity. It's beyond this life. So don't spend your life chasing after those temporal things, right? And this is exactly what Jesus teaches the crowd. Don't waste your life. Don't pursue things like money and clout and fame and earthly wisdom. Don't chase after the so-called pleasures that the world has to offer. Instead, here's what he says there, verse 27, pursue the food that endures to eternal life. And what he means is Jesus himself, Jesus, the bread of life. So as we're walking through this passage this morning in John chapter 6, that's the first point that I want to make as we realize that only Jesus satisfies. Stop chasing after the wrong things. The crowd wanted their stomachs filled. Jesus wanted their souls filled. And he just says it very plainly. Stop chasing after that food that spoils. What have you been chasing? What's your focus, Ben? What's the cry of your heart, Ben? if others were to weigh in on your life and say, this is what she's about, this is what she is in pursuit of, how would they respond? And today, maybe today is the day where before God Almighty we say, Lord, would you give me a hunger and a thirst for you? And maybe we can even confess, Lord, I have known you to be God the Savior, but I want to know you as the God who satisfies. And I hear it. I hear it in my own life at times. I hear it in other people. If only I could get this class finished and get the grade I want. If only I could reach this financial milestone. If only I could have that house or that car or those clothes, right? I mean, we see those things. And again, all of it spoils. In fact, there's a proverb from Proverb 27, verse 20. It says this, as death and destruction are never satisfied, so the eyes of a person are never satisfied. Like we're always looking at, because we serve an invisible God who we cannot see. And yet we find ourselves on earth with material possessions and things that are tangible that we can see. And the story of God's people in the Old Testament, we just studied it in Gideon, is chasing after idols. They wanted something they could see, that they could touch, that they could feel. And we do the same thing when we are in pursuit of material things. But again, it's like cotton candy. Ooh, that's going to taste good. That's really going to fill me up. No, it's not. It is fleeting. It's gone in an instant, and it didn't nourish. Or think about the exchange in Matthew chapter 4. So we have the Lord Jesus, and he's been fasting for 40 days. So in his flesh, he is hungry. You've probably never done a 40-day fast. It's a hunger that you cannot even fathom. And he combats with Satan in that place, who comes along to tempt him, right? And we know what Jesus says when he's tempted with food. He quotes a verse from the Old Testament. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. See, because only the word made flesh can give us everlasting life. So Jesus says really clearly, stop chasing after the wrong things. A couple of weeks ago, Caleb and I attended a monthly pastor's meeting at another local church. And we're heading back here to MCA. We're on some back roads, Holmes County, curvy, windy, twisty. This part's gravel. I just saw people dressed like it's 1600s, like kind of no cell phone reception. So I hope I know the way because this isn't going to tell me how to get there. And so all of a sudden, there is a cow on the road. And it's just trotting alongside, kind of walking, trotting alongside the road for a while. Like, well, that's kind of weird. And then it comes onto the road, and Caleb almost nails it. In fact, he has footage. If you want to see the footage, he'll pull out his phone and show you, because he pulled out his phone and started recording. This cow just kind of moseying along on the road in front of him. And the reason I mention that is because it's like this cow is thinking, why should I just eat the silage provided by the farmer? Why should I stay in the safety of my pen? Why should I stay in that green pasture? There's probably better stuff out here. Not knowing that there is quite a danger going on the road. That it could be harmed, it could be killed, it could be lost, that the weeds out there probably aren't as tasty as what it's being served. And no, the scriptures don't say we're like heifers that stray, but it does say all we like sheep have gone astray. Because we've done the same thing. We've chased after the wrong things. And just like in Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son, who, oh boy, what the world's got, that's what I want, that's what I'm about, until one day he wakes up and he realizes, this is a filthy pigsty. See, that's the moment of clarity and realization for us. When we say, it's not, what God has to offer is a little better than what the world has to offer. There's no comparison. It's anything the world says is good and pleasurable and right and healthy and will satisfy you is the exact opposite. It is toxic. It will lead to death. It is putrid. And I pray that God would open our eyes to see that, so that we would then live in pursuit of Christ and Christ alone. So stop expecting the things of the world to satisfy. That's why we have so many people that are just living in pursuit of satisfying their appetites. That's something only Christ can do. And sometimes the things that God gives us, you know, on earth, they're good things, they're necessary things, they're helpful things. I would say it this way, they're good gifts, but they make lousy gods. So we recognize that all good and wonderful things come from our God and Father above, and we praise him for it. But only Jesus satisfies. So stop chasing after the wrong things. Also, don't stop believing. Now, the abundant life with Christ isn't always roses and rainbows. And I think if we're faithful in a vibrant community, we walk with one another through life's mountains and valleys. And we encourage one another, because the worst thing we can do to an unbeliever is share the gospel with them and tell them everything in life is now just going to be wonderful and great and rosy and happy all the time. Because there's a whole segment of like prosperity preachers that do that. There's a whole segment of so-called churches and pastors and leaders who give this false narrative and this false gospel. When if you look at the words of Jesus, he says, this is going to mean sacrificing your life for the cause of the gospel. So when you make that choice and you're walking with Christ, there are going to be challenges and difficulties and issues. In fact, Jesus teaches directly to this in Matthew chapter 13 when he's telling the parable of the soils. Right, and he talks about the many people who will hear the gospel and receive it with joy, but he says they fall away when trouble or persecution comes. They have no roots. That's why we study the Word of God, not just on Sundays, but on Monday through Saturday as well. That's why we get into a community. That's why we have core groups in our church family here. We are one big church family, yes, but we break into smaller groups to do life together, to have accountability, to have friendship and relationship, so that we can love and care and serve for one another well. Our faith cannot be dependent on our circumstances. That's what happened to that soil, is trouble and persecution came. Well, I'm not in for this. Our faith cannot be dependent upon our circumstances. It rests completely on the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. So if we understand the gospel, if we understand that it's not just one Sunday out of a calendar year where we tell in Sunday school, yep, Jesus went to the cross, but it's an everyday thing that we remind ourselves what Jesus has done and what it meant for our lives and for all who believe. Our faith is securely placed on the work that Christ has done on the cross. Okay, let's keep studying. We're in John chapter 6, verse 28. Jesus has spoken with the crowd, telling them to stop chasing after food that spoils. Press on. So verse 28, then they asked him, what must we do? Oh, boy. This text just preaches itself. They asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe. To believe in the one he has sent. They hear work, because Jesus mentioned that in verse 26 or 27, and they immediately go to, okay, what do I need to do? What work do I need to accomplish in order to see this happen? They want a checklist. They want a religion that they can control. But Jesus says it's not about doing. I mean, we need this message, friends. Because we do the same thing. Oh, okay, what do I need to do? And Jesus gives it very clearly. Here's the work you must do. Believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Stop striving. Start trusting. Don't stop believing is what he's saying. So, verse 30. So they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it's not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. They're like, okay, we're hungry. We want bread. You're talking about really, this sounds like really good stuff. God's probably a great baker. Whatever you're talking about, this bread that comes from the Lord, that's what we want. And they remember hearing the stories of old about their ancestors who were wandering in the wilderness and the Lord miraculously provided by every day sending manna. Part of what they're doing here in this exchange, by the way, is they're goading Jesus. They want him to produce bread. So they're like, okay, you want us to believe? Well, we'll believe when you do the miracle. Okay, by the way, God can provide bread miraculously from heaven, so why don't you do the exact same thing? And that's why he declares then, it's the next verse, verse 35, I am the bread of life. I almost imagine Jesus delivering this line with palm on forehead. He describes like this, it's not about the manna in the wilderness to sustain our physical needs. It's about God sending bread from heaven to sustain you for all of eternity. And they're like, yeah, give us that bread. And he's like, it's me. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me. So he repeats it there, the belief part. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And some of us, in fact, all of us, depending on the season of life we're in, we need this encouragement. Don't stop believing, even when life knocks you down. Don't stop believing, even when your child walks away from the Lord and you're just racked with pain and anxiety and guilt and second-guessing yourself. Don't stop believing, even when the world around you is in turmoil. Instead, we should fix our eyes on Jesus. This is when we're looking to him. We find hope in him. The most hopeless and desperate people and depressed people are looking at the world around them, and guess what? It's hopeless and desperate and depressed. Look at Jesus when you're feeling empty. Look at Jesus when you've been mistreated. Look at Jesus when you're not sure which way to go. And there'll be more on that next week, so stay tuned. I hope you'll come back, because that's where we're going. That's where the conversation with Christ goes in the next passage. But Jesus, he doesn't just promise to fill us temporarily, right? I mean, that's what this whole section on Jesus, the bread of life, is about. This is about more than just you're going to eat a meal and it's going to taste really good. And again, like we've talked about, Thanksgiving or the perfect steak dinner, like you're always hungry after that. Jesus is promising that when you surrender to him, when you put your trust and belief in him, you will be so fully satisfied you'll never hunger again. He is promising abundant life, and he's promising it for all eternity, without end. And I want to be really clear this morning as we share this. This hope of eternity spent with Christ, with this abundant life, it is not based on your righteousness. It's not based on the works you can do. It is based on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is based on the fact that he bore in himself our sins when he went to the cross. And that was sins past, present, and future. So that as we come to him in faith, we know that we can be forgiven of our wrongs. We can be made new. It's a rebirth. We're reborn. He transforms us. And again, it is forever. It is eternal. It is ongoing. So let's keep studying here. Verse 36, John chapter 6. Jesus says, but as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. See, this crowd just can't get over the fact that they're like, right, where's the bread? Okay, gotcha, good, okay, now is there a meal coming? And he's saying, it's me. Put your belief in me. Don't pursue the things that I can offer you, pursue me. He says, all those, and look at this wonderful, amazing promise as we fix our eyes on Jesus. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son, and when we started this sermon series, I pointed this out as a key verse in the chapter. Everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. But here's the thing. You cannot live for Christ when you're still concerned with and you have your eyes fixed on the world. It's like you can't feast in God's kingdom when you're already snacking on sin and selfishness. You ever ruin a meal Or have a relative who they show up for something you've worked really hard to prepare and they're like, yeah, I stopped on the way. What? You just ruined it. I prepared this feast. Yeah, well, I got a big snack. I stopped and got a burger. Like, this is the reality. We cannot feast in God's kingdom if we've snacked on sin and selfishness. If we persist in that. Because we've all done wrong, and Jesus forgives us of those things. So we turn away from our pride and our sin. We receive his forgiveness as we fix our eyes on him. And we say, no more, Lord. My eyes have been opened. The things the world has to offer, take away my appetite and desire for those things. And Lord, give me a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. In fact, you know what Hebrews 12:2 says. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So I do want to close out this passage. We're going to jump over a couple of verses. You can read those on your own after. But let's jump down to verse 49. Because Jesus continues to respond about this notion of the manna and the ancestors there. He says in verse 49, okay, your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. So he reiterates it, verse 51. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Manna fed for a day. Jesus feeds his people for all eternity. The manna that the people received in Exodus, it couldn't keep the people from dying. They all passed away. That's what Jesus points out. The bread of life gives eternal life, life everlasting, life that knows no end. And remember, when Jesus taught us to pray, he taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. So yes, we trust God to meet our needs for today. But what we're really praying is for that sustaining power of Christ, the bread of life, who nourishes our souls. And in Revelation chapter 7, we sort of get the end of the story where it says, never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. For the Lamb is at the center of his throne, and he will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. So rest in this promise today. If you come to Jesus, you will never be cast out. You will never be abandoned. You will never hunger again. He alone satisfies your soul. Now, today, right here in this place, and tomorrow, and the next day, and forever. The abundant life with Christ. And again, it's exactly what Jesus says. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So stop chasing after the wrong bread. And I would love to pray with you this morning. If you have a burden or a need or want to offer your life to Christ, let's meet up after the service. I'd be honored to pray with you to just choose that path, to walk in God's ways. Stop chasing after the wrong bread. Don't stop believing no matter what you're facing, no matter what challenge you're going through. Get some people in your life who will walk with you and counsel you and help you. Don't stop believing. And fix your eyes on Jesus, the only one who can truly satisfy your soul. Let's pray together. Lord God, how we thank you and praise you for what you've done. This morning, as we consider this passage about Jesus being the bread of life, we recognize that we found ourselves at times filling up on the wrong pursuits, Lord, and the wrong things. And true to form, we're hungry again because we're not truly filled. But Lord, in this quiet moment before your presence, we thank you that you satisfy. And we ask, Lord, that you would increase our hunger, our desire, our thirst, our pursuit of you, Jesus, the living Christ, the bread of life. We thank you that you've been so good to us, Lord, that yes, we like sheep have strayed, we've wandered, and yet you stand ready to forgive, to restore, to bring healing and hope. So, Lord, thank you that you are able to do these things. We pray that you would continue to work in our lives, teach us, grow us, help us to understand the gospel and what it means for us, Lord, that we would then be faithful to go out and share the life-giving power of Jesus with the world. Lord, accomplish these things according to your will and for your glory. We pray it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.